Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
We'll rejoice, Father, and be glad in it. Father, we come to learn of you tonight, Father God. I pray that this word tonight would touch my brethren, would encourage my brethren, would give my brethren a new hope and a new courage, Father God, to believe you for the unbelievable, Father God. Father, I pray that you would put your touch, that you would, when I speak the words, that it would prick the hearts, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father God. Father, I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this day, Father. I thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father. I thank you, Father, that we are washed in the blood, Father, and I thank you that because of that we're in right standing with you, Father. I thank you that we can come boldly and we can pray boldly, Father. And I want to just thank you, Abba Father, for this day, this privilege, and this time, Father, of ministering your word, Father. Lord, just have your way tonight. If need be, get me out of the way so you can have your way, Father God. Lord, I don't want any part of me, but I want all of you in this place tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father. Amen and amen. I want to talk to you tonight about the arm of the Lord. I want to talk to you about the arm of God. Because it's important that we don't forget it. Sometimes it's important that we reflect it. You know, his arms outstretched according to Deuteronomy 4:34. His arms everlasting according to Deuteronomy 33:27. His right arm is strong and mighty according to Psalms 89. Verses 10 and 13. His arm is holy, according to Psalms 98:1. His arm is glorious, according to Psalms 63:12. His arm is redeeming, according to Exodus 6:6. His arm is saving, according to Psalms 44:3. His arm is victorious, according to Psalms 98:1. His arm is ruling, according to Isaiah 40:10. His arm is strengthening, according to Psalms 89 and verse 21. His arm is protecting, according to Deuteronomy 7, verse 19. His arm is destroying, according to Isaiah 30:30. It's important that we understand that his arm is not short, that it cannot save. His arm is not short, that it cannot save, my brother and sister. His arm is mighty in battle. It is not short that it cannot save, that it cannot deliver. God is a delivering God. God is a God of might. God is a God of power. And if we would put aside our frailties and we would put aside our disbeliefs and just believe God, we would see the arm of God restored in America and restored in the church today. If we would repent of our sins and we would return to the living God, we would see the arm of God again. We've heard in times past of the arm of God, but I want to ask you, when is the last time you've really seen the arm of God move? We've seen tricklings and we've seen flutterings, but we're getting ready to see the arm of God move. We're getting ready to see the arm of the Lord move. We're going to see it move in mercy. We're going to see it move in judgments. We're going to see it move across judgments across the land. And I know a lot of people don't want to hear that word, but they are coming and they are here. Judgments serve a purpose. They serve to bring people to repentance. Thank you for the amens. They serve a purpose. And if people that are under the judgment of God would understand it's because of His mercy that they're under that judgment, they would begin to understand that their loving God put them under that judgment to bring them back to Himself. Oh, God's arm is not short, my brother and sister. And it is not slack concerning Him. Please turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. Yes, we're going in the Old Testament today. And it's okay. Hallelujah. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, listen to this, brother and sister. Listen, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt. And I will rid you of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Listen to me, my brother and sister. I am the Lord. He speaks first that I am, that I am. And I will bring you out from under the burdens. I want you to know there are burdens you and I carry that we need to take to God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God wants to rid you of the burdens. that you carry day to day, day in and day out. The burdens of prayers that you prayed that are not answered yet. God wants you to give those burdens to Him. His arm is not short that it cannot save. Listen to me. God made Abraham a promise, and it took many years for that promise to be fulfilled, but it came to pass. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he not said it, and will he not bring it to pass, my brother and sister? If he promised you something, he's going to bring it to pass in his timing. In the fullness of time, Jesus came, born of a virgin. He came through the virgin birth, but it was in God's planned timing. Everything happens in God's timing, my brother and sister. It doesn't happen in my timing, in your timing, but it happens in his time. And we must remember that one day is as a thousand days with the Lord, my brother and sister. Come on, we've got to remember that it's in God's timing. Don't get impatient. Don't get impatient. Don't get impatient with the Lord. If we look at the story of Moses and the children of Israel, we see that they became disheartened and they've got discouraged and their heart sunk in them. Because many times Moses would say, God's going to deliver us. And yet it did not happen yet. Isn't it an ironic thing that many times we pray for things and they don't seem to happen yet? Things seem to go in reverse. Things seem to get worse. They go in the opposite. They get worse before they get better. We have an enemy that does not want to see the manifestation of the presence of God. But I want you to understand something. He can fight it, but he cannot stop it. He can fight it. But he cannot stop it. He can bring discouragement to us. But if we look to God and we have on that breastplate of righteousness, we're going to believe. Who hath believed our report, the scripture says, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? We need to believe God's report, my brother and sister. And we need to look to His mighty arm for deliverance. We've got to believe God, my brother and sister. It doesn't matter. I don't care what they did in the past. I don't care what the first church did. I don't care what we did 10 years ago. We must change our thinking. We must change our philosophy. We must believe God. Thank you for the amen. I've been coming here long enough to say that, my brother and sister. We must change the way we believed in the past. We must put aside all of our differences. We must put aside all of our what if God doesn't? Well, what if God does? What if God does? What if God does? You know, I've heard it for years. Well, he didn't do this and he didn't do that. Yeah, not yet he didn't. Everything happens in God's timing. Your kids, your husband, your wife, your relatives that you've been praying for. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. I'm telling you, God's arm is getting ready to move, and it's getting ready to move mightily. God spoke to us this morning that He's done great things, and to reflect on Him and get ready to reflect on the things that He's getting ready to do. We must believe God, my brother and sister. Don't get down. Don't get disheartened. Don't get upset if the Lord gets on to us for not believing Him like we should. He just wants us to believe Him so He can move. Understand, He moves through you and me in this world today. And if the enemy fights us and gets us to not believe, God cannot move. His hands are tied. And He wants His hands to be untied, and He's going to take you and me to believe God to do it. We need to get like Jonathan and his armor bearer. It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. Doesn't matter if it's one. Doesn't matter if it's two. Doesn't matter if it's three. God will honor faithfulness. God will honor you. God honors us for coming here tonight. God honors us because we're obeying His word by assembling together. In a world and in a society today, when people say, well, we don't need Sunday night service. We do need Sunday night. I need Sunday night service. We need it. We need to be together as often as we can according to the scripture. I didn't say according to what I think or what you think. According to the scripture, we need to be together as often as we can. And if that means going to each other's house, that means going to each other's house. But we need to be together as often as we can to strengthen one another, to encourage one another, so that when our brothers have that bad day, we can strengthen them and lift them up. It's an amazing thing that when Moses' hands fell down, they begin to lose in the battle. But when his hands were raised and when he was praising and praying to God, the battle began to change. See, when we're praying and we're praising God, the battle changes. David said, the moment I pray, my enemies turn back. See, it's in the praying and the praising, and that's why our praise is fought today, and because there's people that are on the verge of making commitments to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the enemy doesn't want that, but he cannot stop it. He couldn't stop you, and he couldn't stop me, and he can't stop anybody that wants to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and follow him. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Jesus and God the Father stand ready to move in these last days. He stands ready to move. He stands ready to move, my brother and sister. Hallelujah. His arms stretched out. Come on, brothers and sisters. His arms strong and mighty. His arms redeeming, his arms saving, his arms victorious. We serve a victorious God. There's not another God like our God. Our God talks plain. He talks plain. He speaks to mountains and they move. Glory be to God. He speaks to lions and they shut their mouth. The prince in Palatine that withstood Daniel when Daniel was on his 21-day fast. He tried to stop it. But God sent one angel. God sent one angel. And he broke through. The enemy sent a resistance. The enemy sent a barrier. And sometimes in our walk with the Lord, we go through barriers. We go through resistance because we get tired from our jobs. And let's face it, we're human. That's still no excuse. We can come home. We can ask our wives to pray for us if need be. And God can strengthen us. I come home tired. And oh, how refreshing it would be for my wife to pray for me sometimes. And she does in her quiet time. I know she does because I feel it when I'm at work. When you pray for me, I feel it. Hopefully when I pray for you during the week, I do it in my car on the way to work. You feel it. I do it early in the morning. But I do it as a blanket thing because we're supposed to pray for one another daily according to the scripture. And if I don't, I sin against you and I sin against God. So I blanket and I say, Lord, I bless my brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the whole world. I pray today that you would strengthen them. You don't have to do this. This is just what I do. And I just blanket it that way so I don't miss anybody. I pray for the brothers and sisters that are in Sudan that are laying their lives down for the gospel, that are seeing mighty manifestations of the Spirit of God. In China, there's a mighty revival. People are seeing miracles upon miracles because Christ is preached and exalted under severe persecution, but yet the gospel is still going out. God's arm stands ready to move. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of Egypt, the Egyptians. And I will rid you of the bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. His arm stretched out to us, my brother and sister. It stretched out to us to move in a mighty, mighty way. God wants to move. God wants to deliver. God wants to touch. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms. I'm sorry, go to 2 Chronicles. I'm trying to get ahead of myself. 32, chapter 32, verse 8. Hallelujah. God is good. God wants to encourage us tonight to believe him. God wants to ensure us tonight that his arm is ready to move. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. Man, my brother and sister, if we would just rest ourselves sometimes on the things the Spirit of God says to us through our pastor. If we would just rest ourselves on the things that the Spirit of God says to us through the gifts of the Spirit, we can rest ourselves. God wants to move for you more than you want him to move. Thank you for the amen. God wants to move for you more than you want him to move. I want to ask you, I want to ask you, we're clean through the blood, yes. But there's still a life that we must live. There's still a walk that we must walk. There's still a walk that we must walk uprightly before Him according to the Scriptures. We must walk softly before Him according to the Scriptures, that we don't offend our God. We can offend our God. And if we offend in one point, we're guilty of the whole law according to the Scripture. But if we are walking softly before Him, and man looketh on the outward, and God looks on the heart, you can come to church, you can raise your hands, and you can be living in sin, trying to cover it up. But God knows the hearts of His people. God tries the reins of the heart. You can put on a good show, but God knows you better than you know yourself. He's numbered the hairs on your head. Hallelujah. He's numbered the very hairs on your head. I want to back up to verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed. For the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. See, circumstances. We're a small church. How are we going to evangelize? We see it around us. People say it about us for years. But I want you to get ready. There's more with us than what looks like. We have God Almighty. We have God the Father. We have God the Son. We have God the Holy Spirit. God is with us, my brother and sister. He comes. He moves. He stirs and He brews. And He wants us to stir up the gift of God that is within us. There are gifts in each and every one of us that lay dormant, that are lying dormant. And God wants us to stir them up. There are gifts of healing. There are gifts of faith. There are gifts of prophesying. And God wants us to stir up the gifts that lie dormant on the inside of us. There are gifts of ministry. There are gifts of the ministry of helps, my brother and sister. God wants you to stir yourself. God wants you to shake yourself and begin to believe Him. It doesn't matter what your brother says. If your brother's not willing to believe, find one that will. Thank you for the amen. Somebody's going to believe with you. Somebody's going to believe with you. Somebody's going to have the same heart that you have. Thank God I'm in a church that has the same heart that my pastor has and that we have. Thank God we all share the same vision. Thank God we want to see God move in a miraculous way. Boy, it's different tonight, but that's okay. I like it when it's different because I know God's in control. I know He's taking control of the service. See, a lot of people just expect people to maybe to come up here and just start rambling on and really get under the anointing and just start flowing in the anointing. And sometimes God just wants you to sit back and read scriptures through the Word and muse on them and meditate on them, because there's nothing I can say that's going to inhibit and enhance this Word. This Word is powerful, my brother and sister. This Word is enlightening. His Word, the entrance of Thy Word, O Lord, it giveth light. Hallelujah. It giveth strength. Glory be to God. It's the Word, my brother and sister. If we would just believe what the report of the Lord has to say, we wouldn't be in some of the circumstances and situations that we're in, or that we've gone through, or that we've been through. Thank God God has brought us through. Thank God His arm has pulled us out. Thank God He's pulled us out of the miry clay. At one time, we've all been in the miry clay in this church. But thank God His arm delivered us. Thank God He pulled us out with a mighty right hand. God, if it wasn't for His might, if it wasn't for His grace and His mercy, where would we be, my brother and sister? If we didn't come with a willing heart on Sunday and ask God to change us and to rearrange us, we wouldn't be here tonight. We wouldn't have been here this morning. Thank you for the amen. Turn with me, please, to Psalm 77. I'm going to start in verse 13. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared Thy strength among the people. We serve a strong and mighty God, my brother and sister. Thou hast with Thine arm redeemed Thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. I want you to know something. God redeemed us with a mighty right hand. God redeemed us with a mighty right hand. I want to get ahead of myself, but I want to just wait, because I know God's going to bust this service open in just a few minutes. I'm telling you, He's going to bust it open, because He is God. And I want Him to have complete control of these services, because He alone is God and there is none like Him. Turn with me, please, to Psalms 89. Glory be to God. We serve a God that's magnificent. We serve a God that's majestic. We serve a God that's most the Most High God. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 1. We got time. We got time. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For whom in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who in the heaven, my brother and sister? No one. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? No one. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Oh, if we would just get back the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord of hosts, who is a strong like unto thee? Or to thy faithfulness around about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with a strong arm. Glory be to God. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm. Strong is thy hand and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. My brother and sister, we have a God that has a strong, mighty arm and a strong right hand. That arm pulled you out of the miry clay. That arm pulled you out of the clutches of sin and delivered you and washed you in the blood and wrote your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and wrote your name down in the Book of Remembrance. My brother and sister, you have a God that stands ready to move. He says in His Word over and over again, my arm is not short that it cannot save. He stands ready to not only save, He stands ready to deliver. He stands ready to melt the bondages of sin like burning flashlights that did on Samson if need be. God has a yoke-breaking anointing. He came on this earth and said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to set the captives free, my brother and sister. We have a lost, damned, and dying world that is going to hell, and Jesus came to set it free. And God sent Jesus, just as He sent Moses and Aaron as God's extended arms of mercy to the children of Israel, He sent Jesus as an arm of His extended mercy. And it was a type of arm through Jesus. It was a type of arm through Moses and Aaron that we see that God sent and used and moved through these men. Oh, but Jesus, when He came on this earth and He hung on the cross, His arms were outstretched. His arms were outstretched, my brother and sister, and He was delivering us. He was taking on the sins of the world. He was taking on your sin. He was taking on my sin. He was taking on your brethren's sin, your brother's, your sister's sin. He was taking on the sin of the world. And it was Jesus, when He walked, and He stretched out His arm and He touched the blind man. The blind man was healed. That's the type of God that we have. One that stands ready to deliver. One that's not afraid to move. One that's not afraid of a battle between light and darkness. As a matter of fact, God welcomes it because He beheld Satan cast out of heaven as lightning. He just, boom, he was gone. Some of the trials that you go through, they're serving a purpose. I know that it doesn't seem like it right now, but when God delivers you, when God's right hand arm steps in, when God's arm steps in and pulls you out and delivers you, you're going to know that it was for your good. I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but he that shall come will come and he will not tarry. He's coming. He's not only coming in the clouds, He's getting ready to come in glory in the church. We're not only going to see Him in the heavens, we're going to see Him be the King in the church again. we're going to see and be the king. I was thinking of that while we were singing that song tonight, we shall see the king. Yeah, we're going to see him when he splits the eastern sky open. But we're also going to see him when people begin to get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Demons come out, people get healed, glory be to God. We're going to see him move in that aspect too. We're going to see the King of Glory. We're going to see him move, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Because his arm is not short that it cannot save. I'm telling you, my brother and sister, you need to, if need be, get back in your Bible and begin to muse on the power and the justice and the judgment of God. It'll make you want to get right. It'll make you want to walk right. It'll make you want to spit white, glory be to God. Because we don't want nothing to stop the flow of God's Spirit. See, Jesus had the Holy Ghost without measure because he was yielded to the Father, 100%. And we come to altars, and I believe it's our soul desire to be yielded 100%. But just as Lot's soul was vexed, as we go through the week, our souls get vexed. They get vexed through the filthy conversation of the wicked on our jobs, things they talk about that we can't avoid sometimes. Some things we can walk away from. Some things we can't. Let's face it, we live in an ungodly world. And let's face it, men love darkness rather than the light. That is why we were ineffective in Sulphur Springs. That is why we were ineffective at 10th and Sitka. It wasn't because we didn't try. It's because men love darkness rather than light. But there are those, my brother and sister, that want the light more than the darkness. And it's those that we want to reach. It's those that we want to touch. Those that God sends us to. Those are the ones we want to touch. Those are the ones we want to reach. Those are the ones God's arms going to be stretched out to. Just as it was stretched out to you and to me and to others that have come through, such as Annette. God said we were going to see deliverances. I'm telling you, I'm holding on to that, my brother and sister. I keep reminding God what he's told us through the gifts of the Spirit. I keep reminding him. It's okay to remind him. I'm not reminding him because I'm out of faith. I'm reminding him, Lord, you said, and I expect you to do. He did it once, my brother and sister. I believe he's going to do it again. He'll do it again and again and again and again. If we would just consecrate ourselves and believe God and seek his face while he may be found, we're going to see the miraculous. Brother Sean, you're too much on the miraculous. Look, you can't help but be in love with Jesus and expect the miraculous. Everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Whether it was turning water into wine, whether it was taking the fish and the five loaves and multiplying it, Jesus did good. And it's because of that example I look to in the Scriptures that I have great faith that makes me want to just haul off and believe God, is because my Master did that while he walked on this earth. And he wants to do that in this day and age that we live in. He wants to do it. He wants to move through you. He wants to flow through you. You're his arm now, my brother and sister. You heard me correctly. I didn't stutter. You're his arm. You're his vessels that he's going to speak through, that he's going to flow through. Just as he flowed through Jesus, he's going to flow through you and me as long as we consecrate ourselves to him. And that mighty arm, we're going to be part of that mighty arm that the Scriptures talk about. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 32, verse 16. Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and outstretched arm. And there is nothing. I want you to look in your Bibles and look at this. There is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompass the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of the children. After them, the great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel, mighty in work, For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Listen, my brother and sister, to the fruit of his doings. Whoever we yield ourselves members to, those members and servants we become, whether of sin unto to death or of righteousness unto life, my brother and sister. It's important that we yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. It's important that we yield ourselves to the Scriptures. It's important that we yield ourselves to prayer. According to the fruit of His doings. So that means you and I have an obligation. We have a duty. I don't like to use the word duty, because it puts a trip on some people. We have an obligation. I mean, this man bled and died for us. We ought to be able to live for him a little bit higher and a little bit better than we do. Oh, I didn't get too many amens on that one, but that's okay. Moving right along. Isaiah 53. God's calling us higher. If you haven't been listening through our pastor, God cannot move unless we go higher. Yes, it's by His grace. I'm a firm believer in that. I'm a firm believer in that. By His grace, we're nothing. Without His grace, we're nothing. Hallelujah. It's by His grace we're saved, my brother and sister. But because we're saved, we're going to do good works that we can glorify God. Thank you for the amens. Boy, it gets quiet sometimes. I don't like it when it gets quiet, but it's okay. It's all right. I feel His good pleasure. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. It's okay. Hallelujah. God is good. God is merciful. If you would get through the tough stuff, when the sugar comes and the sweetness of God comes at the end of the service, oh, He's going to saturate you with His presence. Isaiah 53. Nope, I'm sorry. Go to Isaiah 51. Verse 4. The nearness of God's righteousness, it says in my little Bible here. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and on my arm shall they trust. See, we got to trust in this great God. We got to trust that everything He promised us in this book, we're going to see it come to pass. It's an amazing thing. We can trust people that let us down day in and day out. We can trust our kids that let us down from time to time, but yet we still go and trust them that they're making the right decision, but yet we can't come and trust this great God who loved us so much, gave a son for us, bled and died for us, and ransomed us. We still have a problem trusting that great God. And God wants us to trust Him with every aspect, in every single minute area in our life. God wants us to trust Him. It is not too small for our God, and it's not too big for our God. That's the type of God that loves us. We don't have a high priest who cannot be felt with the same infirmities that we feel. He's felt them. He's walked through them. He's walked in this earthen body, so He knows some of the pains, some of the heartaches that we go through. But yet He did it without sin. He did it without sin. He did it so He could redeem us, so He could save us. Isaiah 53. Listen to me. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to encourage. If I come across as condemning, that's not from me. That's from your enemy. Thank you for the amens. But what God gives me, I must deliver. Sometimes it comes across strong. Sometimes it comes across sweet. But however God gives it to us, that's how we need to take it. And if we've got areas in our life that are wrong, we need to just accept it and ask God to help us. Because nobody's perfect in this room tonight. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Isn't it amazing? There's no beauty when he was growing up. He was just a calmly average person. But yet he was the Son of God. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. His arm was outstretched. He was bruised for our iniquities. His arms outstretched again. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. His arms outstretched again. And with his stripes we are healed. His arm comes with healing in his wings. My brother and sister, God's arm is not short that it cannot save. His arm is not short that it cannot save, that it cannot deliver. God wants you to put away your critics. God wants you to put away those of you that say it's not going to happen. God doesn't want you to listen to them. Maybe you don't even need to be around them. And get around those people that are going to be of like faith. Those that are going to believe the scripture the way you believe it. And as I was coming up and I first got saved, yeah, I'm still dogmatic about some things. I've still got some things that some of y'all may disagree with me about, but that's okay. I can still love you even though you disagree with me. And I hope that you can still love me even though we disagree. And one of these days, God hopefully will straighten us both out. And we'll let his word be the true determining factor of what is to be said. Let God be true and every man a liar, including this man. God's arm is not short that it cannot save. God's arm, that's a whole nother sermon. I don't want to turn there. We'll be here all night. God's arm is stretched out. His arm is everlasting. His arm is strong and mighty. His arm is holy. His arm is glorious. His arm is redeeming. His arm is saving. His arm is victorious. His arm is ruling. His arm is strengthening. Ah, his arm is protecting. His arm is destroying. Oh, when God is on our side, it makes all the difference in the world. When God is on our side, it doesn't matter what we face when we know that God is for us. If God before us, the scripture says, who can be against us? See, we need to know that this God is for us. We need to know that if he wasn't for us, he would have never sent Jesus to the cross. We would have never been grafted in as the olive branch. We would have never been able to be grafted into the vine. But thank God we're grafted in. Thank God he came to the Gentiles. Thank God he sent his grace and we can be saved. Thank God he's mighty. Thank God when he died on the cross, he hung his head. They pierced his side. Blood and water flowed. They took him to the tomb. And everyone thought it was over. What they did not realize was God's arm was fixing to really, really come forth. The Romans thought it was over. But yet, it was just beginning. And we see that when Peter comes to the gate beautiful, because of God's resurrection power, we see that he says boldly, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the lame man begins to walk and leap and begins to praise God. God's arm stretched out through Peter. Then some of us came to the Holy Church of God, and God used our pastor And God's arm was stretched out to us through our pastor, through the Holy Ghost, through conviction. And now God wants to use you as an outstretched arm. God wants to send you to your job, to your husband, to your family members. And God wants you to be that outstretched arm that He wants to use so you can speak to a lost, damned, and dying world. You might speak, they may not listen, but if God tells you to speak, you better speak. The object's not whether, the scripture says, whether they hear or whether they will forbear. We must speak what the Lord gives us to say. Some people don't like it. Some people don't like this church because it's too hard. And you know, our pastor's too hard. I'm glad he's hard because I got weak flesh and sometimes it needs adjusting. I'm glad the Spirit of God loves us enough to correct us when we're wrong. I'm glad the Spirit of God loves us enough to send us messages of warning. I'm glad the Spirit of God loves us enough to say, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. We not only need to get ready for the coming of the Lord, we need to get ready for the coming of the arm of the Lord in the church today. God wants to move by His Spirit. God wants to move by His Spirit. I expected hindrances. Not because I expect those things, but I know my enemy well. He doesn't like us, and I frankly don't like him. He doesn't like us to worship in freedom. He doesn't like us to praise our God. He doesn't like the fact that we're here tonight. But thank God we're here. Thank God we're overcoming the flesh. Thank God we're going to see a mighty move of the manifestation of the Spirit of God. We sang it tonight, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. God, it's upon each and every one of you tonight. I know I didn't hear no amens because y'all don't see the scripture that way. We're partakers of His divine nature. That doesn't mean we're divine. That doesn't mean we're God. But it means when He said, Father, I pray that You would make them one as You and I are one. That means when we go to Jesus and we ask Him of something, just as Him and the Father are one, us, Jesus, and the Father are one now, my brother and sister. And God wants us to get that revelation anew and afresh, because God wants us to pray and ask the Father of those things that we need to ask Him. God wants us to ask the Father of those things that we need to ask Him. Those things that seem impossible. Those barriers that doesn't think they're going to come down. They're going to come down by God's mighty outstretched arm. They're going to come down by the glory. Yes, glory, glory of God. The wall that stands before you, it's going to come. The mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor by power, but by the very Spirit of the living God. The heaviness that you carry, my brother and sister, it is going to be lifted on you. The burdens that you are bearing, that this old world's trying to put on us, God is fixing to lift off of us through His outstretched arm. God wants you to take those burdens to Him and give them to Him, because He loves you with an everlasting love, and He has set His love upon you. He not only loved you, He set His love upon you, my brother and sister. And it's because of this love that He doesn't want to see us destroyed. It's because of this love that He doesn't want to see us turn back. But understand something, we have a will. God will not override our will. If we want to walk in rebellion, He will let us walk in rebellion. And then we will be under the wrath and the judgments of God, because He will have to send correctiveness. He will have to spank us if we're truly a son. The Bible says after you're illuminated, after you've come to the knowledge of the truth, you endure a great fight of affliction. Being a Christian is not a cakewalk. It's not an easy road. It's a day-by-day process. Every day I learn something new about God's grace and God's mercy and about God's power. Thank God God has power, but I thank God that He's love too, my brother and sister. It's because of that love that I can expect that power to move, because He loved us enough to go to that tree and hang on the cross. His arms were outstretched. He was beaten. He was battered. But yet His arm was still outstretched on the cross. The enemy thought he conquered Him. The enemy thought he crucified him. Oh, it's over. He's dead. But what the enemy did not know is those outstretched arms that were outstretched on the cross were arms of grace, were arms of mercy, were arms of love for you and for me. Thank God he stretched out his arms and died for you and for me. And it's because of that I can have great courage to believe God. You and I are never going to be perfect. Thank you for the amen. We're never going to be perfect. The apostles weren't perfect. Paul wasn't perfect. But yet God moved him mightily. Moved through him and in him mightily. And God wants to move through you. And God wants to move through me mightily in these last days. We're in the last of the last days. The time is short. So God's got to do a quick work. God's got to do this thing suddenly, my brother and sister. Maybe one night the Lord will let me teach on the suddenlies of the Scripture. Oh, they're mighty. They're powerful. They're awesome. And it's an amazing thing when suddenly people begin to come through those doors. We're going to get excited. But I want you to know we need to get excited now. Because God's been speaking some glorious things to us through the gifts of the Spirit. God's been speaking to us by His Spirit. Not to give up. Not to lose hope. To keep trusting and to keep believing in Him. And we must, my brother and sister. We must believe in the report of our God. That means we may have to turn off the news so our spirit doesn't get grieved or disheartened. I know some of you are disheartened this very evening. God wants to re-enhearten you. God wants you to get a fresh heart to believe Him. No matter the circumstance, no matter how long it's been, time is not the issue with God. Everything happens in His timing. Not my timing, not your timing, but in God's timing. I mean, some of us thought we were ready to minister when, you know, we were saved for 5 years. We're ready. You know, I'm ready. Bless God, give me the microphone. I'm ready. No, I wasn't ready. I had some roads to walk down. I had to experience some grace. I had to experience the arm of the Lord delivering me out of the miry clay. And oh, thank God He did. Thank God I allowed Him. Sometimes you have to allow God to deliver you. Swallow your pride. Admit you're not as big and you're not as tough as you would like to be. You're not as much of a warrior for God as you'd like to be. You're frail, you're broken. But here comes God with His everlasting love, picks you up with His arms of love, and carries you. Carries you and pulls you out of the despair, the brokenness that you're in. I know what it's like to be broken. I know what it's like to be in despair. And I know what it's like to have those arms of love pick me up, minister to me, and carry me away. And say, son, I want you, when you're strengthened, to strengthen your brother. And I know what that's like. My brother and sister, when I was going through some severe trials and testings because of my own stupidity, thank you for the amen. Y'all can say amen, that's okay. Sometimes it's our own stupidity that causes us the trouble that we're in. Some of the financial burdens that we get into is because of the stupidity that we do. But God is good. God is going to come and deliver you, my brother and sister. Would you please stand? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God in the highest. God loves y'all. My God, does He love y'all. Y'all, I'm telling you, he loves y'all. I know we think we know it, but sometimes we don't really know how much he loves us. How he woos us. How he calls us. How he draws us. He wants to draw us to himself. He wants us to lay our bosom. He wants us to lay our head on his bosom. Thank him for his tender mercies. Oh, thank God for his tender mercies. I hope you leave here tonight expecting the arm of the Lord to move. In your life, in my life, in this church, in this congregation, I hope you come every service expecting God to move. Because it's with that spirit of expectancy we're going to see him move. We don't expect, we're not going to see. If we expect, we shall see the King of Glory, and we'll see his glory. But I want you to come expecting, not just for healings, although that's fine and that's okay. I want you to come expecting for souls to be saved, which is the greatest miracle of all. For people to be delivered, for bondages to be broken. Come expecting every service those things to happen. And we're going to see God move in this generation and in these times that we live in right now. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for my brethren. Father, I pray this week that you would be with them, that you would guide them, Father, that you would strengthen them this week, Father. That, Father God, somebody would ask them the reason of the hope that's within them, Father, and they would answer them boldly and proclaim the gospel, Father. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Bless them, Father God. May they go and eat the fat and drink the sweet in Jesus' name.